Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from the top floor of the OBB Corporate Tower in downtown Coral Gables. You're listening to the top-rated American football podcast in countries that don't play American football.
Ain't that some shit?
These are the Orange Bowl Boys.
Brought to you by Ed Morse. Join the over 2 million people that are backed by Morse. Visit edmorse.com.
Here's Toast, Roman, and Scoop.
Welcome to the Mario Era, Chapter 72.
78, Dustin Mario, it's a man, we didn't make a mistake. 72.
Suck it. Oh, they know.
Hey, at least we're consistent.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, we're not falling behind in our old age. We still have an idea what's going on out here.
Little one.
Little of a clue. Little bit of a clue.
How you boys doing?
Yeah.
Doing excellent. Gonna just take over the world again, just like Ren and Stimpy.
Before we get into the Canes, get into the pod. Stimpy. I love Ren and Stimpy. Happy, oh my joy, God. Joy.
Oh, my God.
What a repulsive cartoon that was. It was great to watch at the bar. Oh, so good.
You can't even, none of those cartoons. Is Beavis, no, is South Park still being made?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they have carte blanche. I don't understand how they get away with everything.
They're allowed to get away with everything. Are they still doing like what they used to do?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And
oh,
worse.
Yeah.
And worse.
Yeah. Even worse. Yeah. Yes.
How?
They have pictures of somebody.
There's certain entities that get that street cred to do whatever they want, and they could piss off any political group, race, religion, doesn't matter, creed. Them and Family Guy can just say whatever they want. They do whatever they want, and they're on an untouchable list. Like
you know what it is?
They have naked pictures of people.
I think it's because they do it to everybody. There's not a single group they have in each of those shows hasn't completely roasted and destroyed.
Yeah, but Dave Chappelle's roasted everybody in the world, and everybody comes after him.
But he's not a cartoon.
People realize that those are real people making that shit up, right?
Yeah,
like that's those are real ideas coming from real people.
But it's a cartoon.
Uh huh. Oh, I forgot my light.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. Make it, man. You know, they have like Ivy League.
That's amazing to me.
That would be like so me. Go get like a Harvard education just so I could be a writer on Family Guy. And they bank, dude. Listen, you know, they make so much money.
When you say it out loud in this day and age where everybody is, you know, I mean, everyone's protesting everything, those two shows, you know, even if they
get protests, that was nice and really glad you could do your intro.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, baby. We'll see if he comes back today. Yeah. Bye now for now.
Peace out, Roman. Let's go ahead and let's get that going.
Right.
All right.
Cue.
Beautiful. Jeez. Phenomenal. Good times.
Jeez. Yeah, but I'm still that really does. The fact that you just told me it's still on.
Yeah.
The fact number two that I haven't watched it in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on me.
Right.
And number three, that it actually still produces the same content it produced 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate.
Amazing.
You know, the first thing on my on my show sheet,
yeah,
was to talk about the dude with the shingles, and he just left.
He left.
Did you know? Now,
does he still have them?
Well, so when you were gone, how many you missed? What, 2 weeks ago?
I missed 2 weeks ago. I knew he had them.
So
I've had the conversation.
He had had them for, I think, 3 weeks, and he said that they lasted
like
4 to 6. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he should be towards the end. If not gone.
I would hope so.
I hope so for his sake. He's going on a trip.
All right. So we've got the greatest 4-month sports run in South Florida history continues. We have Stanley Cup Finals and NBA Finals happening simultaneously, rotating nights.
Like every other day.
And both of our teams are in it. Like,
let's go. Every other day, pure sport. Every day. Every day.
So awesome.
I mean.
So I was here. So you've been here your whole life. You grew up here. So let me ask you a question. Was there a year? What year did Marino go to the Super Bowl and lose to Montana? Because did the Canes win the national title that year? No, they didn't. No. All right. So I was wondering if there was a year where the Canes won the national title and the Dolphins like made a Super Bowl within like a 4-week window.
Not that I know of. He only played in one, right?
Only played in one. Yeah.
No.
Only played in one.
No. No. Didn't he play against the Redskins?
No, he just played against. No, Redskins wasn't him.
Yeah.
No, he played against the Niners, Joe Montana.
I could have sworn he played against the Redskins.
No, he played one Super Bowl.
And what's his name? Who was the big white dude? The running back. The running Zonka. Back. No, for the Redskins.
Oh, Christ.
He
with the Hogs.
He stole Marino. Oh, well, that was quick.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, he's dead. He was stole Marino's ring.
No. Roe, yes. Marino, how many Super Bowls did Marino play in?
One.
Yeah. Against two.
Who do you play?
They played against Washington and lost.
Okay. That's correct.
San Francisco.
No. It's Washington, I'm telling you. Riggs. All right. Riggins.
John Riggins. Right. I'm gonna have
John
to go
Riggins
ahead.
Stole
I'm gonna go
Marino's
ahead and search this
ring.
Now.
Dolphins. Did he not? John Riggins stole Marino's ring.
He did. He
was like a late. It was a late. They couldn't stop
his
him.
His rookie year. They went to the Super Bowl, and everybody thought he was going to get back to it. And he never did again.
84 Dolphins 84. Against the San Francisco 49ers. 38-16 they lost.
Okay. When did he play the Redskins? And why
he
does
didn't.
Why
so
80, why does Ro and I both think that he did?
They won the AFC in 82, lost to the Redskins. But that was John Riggins was the MVP, but that was not Marino. That was, what's his name? Oh, what's the guy's name? Hold on. Now I got to read this fucking deal.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't
Marino. So that wasn't Marino.
No, it wasn't Marino.
Well, see, that's where I'm confused here.
That was a Killer Bees. David Woodley.
Well, Killer Bees.
Bruce, you and I thought the same thing.
Yeah. Bruce Room, one of the bees.
Bob,
the killer
bees. Bombhauer, whatever, yeah.
Brzezinski?
Brzezinski, whatever. Right. And Bombhauer with two. Like those, yeah. Killer bees.
Brzezinski. Which I had an awkward moment. And the funny thing is, I just went there. It was after my daughter's volleyball practice. Just me and Tao Tao. Go in there. You hungry, Tao Tao? What do you want? Italian. I want Americana. Okay, let's go. Bruce Room's down the street. Mm-hmm. It's a nice one right there on Hillsboro. It's like the middle of the day. It's supposed to be like, you know, family friendly. It's like 3 o'clock, something like that. It was a late lunch dinner for us. They are legit playing Nine Inch Nails. And it wasn't the unedited version. Closer. And I'm like,
nice,
bro. Even I'm feeling a little. I mean, yeah, I got like my 13-year-old daughter with me. You know, I'm like, you can't even do the edited version of this song. This is like Trent Reznor. So it's like so awkward because as I want to, and then I'm like, yeah. So like, I kept trying to interrupt the part of him saying that because I just didn't want to get into this conversation. I'm like, it's pretty graphic lyrics. You guys might want to get to, you know, figure out what time you're playing this song. Real awkward.
So Reznor and his boy Atticus are presently working on the motion picture soundtrack, Ro, for guess what live action from an animated cartoon they're working on? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're doing the soundtrack.
Really?
Yep.
That's supposed to be coming. The movie's done, though. Guys, because we went and saw the Super Mario. I told you that. And And they play that preview.
Oh, all right. Then I guess they're putting the final touches on the soundtrack. That's cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
They've done a bunch of movies together, Atticus and Trent.
Have you seen the Foos with their new drummer?
I saw. Yeah, he's an insane drummer. Very he's insane drummer. Yeah, insane. Yeah.
You gotta be.
Yeah. He's
Tyler and Dave. I mean, obviously a drummer too. I mean, you got to have some chops if you're going to be a drummer for the Foos.
It's pretty interesting. So I've seen some pretty interesting stuff on them lately, like videos and kind of like behind the scenes type stuff so their current guitar player is the third guitar player, and their other rhythm guitar player who's now back in the band, right? There's Dave who's rhythm, and then this other guy Chris who's lead. There's now another rhythm guy back, was their second guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they brought him back after like a number of years.
Well, and Taylor wasn't in the last album. Drummer.
No,
not even close.
Yeah. And their last album, I think he was the fifth drummer. He was the fifth drummer. And the last album they recorded in, because I know it's the whole thing about him doing his first album all by himself, right, in a basement or whatever. The last album they put together, they actually did it at his garage, all on analog.
Beautiful.
Wow. They used no Pro Tools, no digital. Nice. Yeah, it's really pretty cool.
Nice.
You can do that at that. They're a band that they can do whatever they want.
They played twice. They played Wembley twice.
Wife stumbled across MTV Classic the other day, and an early Foo video came on, the one where they're mimicking the Mentos commercials.
Yeah. Learn to Fly. It's my least favorite song they've ever done, and it's very popular.
Yes.
I think it's just so corny, that song.
The part when he's trying to blow into this life vest. That will always be funny to me, though.
I mean, they get a pass, but that was, God, that was bad.
And they're like that. They're quirky, serious man. Songs. They're quirky. They have some fun-loving songs where, like, they kind of have that personality, like Learn to Fly. And then they just, you know, Best of You. I mean, it's just such like a powerful
Best
song.
Of You, they said, is the biggest song they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
It's a and great
song. I love the piano version.
That one. It's the other one. All.
My Hero?
Nope. It's Hero. Not My Hero, which I was surprised about.
Friday Night Lights.
So they put this album together. It took them 3 months. And then, you know, something I didn't know. Dave said, you know what? I'm going to go play drums again. And he left when they finished this album that they all thought sucked. And he was the drummer for Queens of the Stone Age.
Yes, he was. Yep.
I didn't know that. Yep. I had no clue.
Yeah.
I was just like, are you talking about Queens of the Stone Age?
With them.
Wasn't Everlong their biggest song?
No.
No,
I'm going to tell you. And so Monkey the whole Wrench? Point of this. No. Keep going.
Wasn't Best of You, but it was along the lines of Best of You. Times Like These.
No, that was it had to be. Oh,
no, but
it had to be something from the 90s, like these, right?
So listen, so the Times Like These album, that was the album that sucked.
Yeah.
And he came back from being on tour and he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to be the singer for the Foo Fighters. He was like having a crisis. And he comes back and they all agreed that the album sucked. And he goes, you know what? We still got time. Let's remake it. They remade the entire album in a week. And it was the biggest album they ever had.
I mean, Best of You's their highest charting song ever.
It's probably Best of You.
I mean, Times Like These, Monkey Wrench, Big
Me. On that album, though.
What, Times Like These? It's on One by One?
I think so. All My Life.
All My Life. Okay.
All my life, I've been searching for something.
That's one of those songs where it's the last words, the first word of the next.
I mean, they said it's the best song they ever do live, too.
Oh, my goodness. Right. It's just one of those songs. You're like, you start bobbing your head.
I mean, you think about Hero, you think about Monkey Wrench, you think about Times Like
These.
It's
got to be one of the most iconic drum, like, so like drum, like, you know, that song's playing just by the drum track. That, like, once they get into that drum track, that's got to be one of the most iconic drum tracks. The most iconic drum fill is In the Air Tonight. Everybody knows that one,
obviously. But if you get a chance to go and see any of that behind the scenes stuff, it's amazing.
I still think despite their career, they're still underrated.
Foo Fighters.
I don't think Foo Fighters get the credit they deserve.
I agree with you. I think publicly they're underrated. Yeah. Public perception, they don't get near the recognition you would think they would get.
100%.
They're one of the best rock bands of all time.
Yeah, they are. And from a longevity standpoint, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. That's part of it.
You know who the biggest rock band in the world is right now, Ro?
Taylor Swift.
Stop it.
Bro, let me just say something about that. Can I just say something?
Shame on you.
I don't have any kids, but it would appear that anyone I know on my timeline that has a teenage daughter, apparently there was a law that you had to drive at least 3 hours away to the nearest Giants stadium to take them to this latest tour, whether it be to Tampa or the Meadowlands, or you had to take them on an excursion to see this T-Swift tour.
I haven't seen, and I completely agree with you, we both have 12 and 13-year-old daughters. I haven't seen something like this since NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Wow.
And we played with Taylor Swift in an Orlando showcase. She was like 11 years old at the time. She was like a kid. I'm telling you, true story. And I remember this. Kid. And she goes, "Hi, my name's Taylor. I wrote this song last night. I'm going to play for you." Right? She like literally wrote this song the night before. She was more country when she came out. And I took one look at her and she played. I'm like, this girl's going to be a star. You just knew it.
She was out there by herself with a guitar.
Yep, just her. In Orlando showcase. My name's Taylor. Yeah. I'm 11 years old. I just made this song last night. And I'm like,
it's a trip, dude.
Yeah.
That's insane. Okay.
That's insane. It was a trip. Yeah, we were all there. I mean, I can name 15 of us that were standing in that little bar at that showcase for her. It was awesome. It was very cool. But who's the biggest rock band in the world, Ro?
No clue.
Easily right now.
Ed Sheeran, but he's not really a rock band. He's just by himself. No.
Shinedown.
Shinedown right now? Good.
Good. Massive. Good. Ricky Sanders, my buddy Ricky, is our drum tech.
Nice. Do it, Ricky.
All right.
Selling out stadiums all over the world.
Good for them.
Right. Yeah, they were always big in Japan too. They were big out in the Far East. Yeah. That was true. Yeah. That was when they were popular here, they actually were more popular out there.
So they're you're telling me they're the David Hasselhoff of Japan?
Yeah, but they're pretty popular here amongst rockheads.
So. Yes, they are. Yeah. Yes, they are.
Right. The drum, yeah. So we had, we have so many ties back to that kind of stuff. But our last album was recorded in the same studio their first album was recorded in when they did 45. I can't think of the name.
Fly Away.
So good. Fly Away. And Matt Brown,
their drummer,
who played drums for that album, played drums for our album. A lot of connections there.
All right.
Good guess.
I was going to.
He actually turned that gig down.
Silly.
All right. Before we get
five questions
down to Green Tree. Heads up, start thinking of some because you'll notice on the show sheet, I didn't get that far.
That was a long precursor to what we got going on. We might have to cut something out.
Just saying. So
I can talk about music and wrestling all day.
And I had a music thing later on in the show that I almost think I should just bring up right now and just say, hey, absolutely congratulations to this motherfucking band right here. 30 years later, this album just went double platinum.
People still buying that.
Still buying it. Pantera, Cowboys from Hell, oddly enough, ranked the 19th greatest heavy metal album of all time. I will tell you that from my standpoint,
the album
in the 90s, it was Metallica and Pantera. That was my religion and ministry.
Oh, yesterday they were jamming to Enter Sandman in the car with Franco after the baseball game. Jamming to it. I actually brought that up, you know, football related. I said, Franco, it's actually really cool. Virginia Tech, Lane Stadium, fourth quarter. This song comes out. It's electric. It is really cool to experience. And after I just said that little quick, we just jammed it all the way up again and just like jammed out to it. He listens to so old songs. I love it. Yeah, they're old songs for me too, pretty much. But it's like that kid knows more.
I play Foreigner and Journey and
Oh my goodness.
And I force my daughters to listen to it. Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. And they totally love it. Like, you know what they make me play over and over again?
Wow.
We were talking about this the other day. The Daughtry version of
I'm Coming Home.
No, the Journey cover.
Oh, yeah, Separate Ways.
Separate Ways.
That's okay. What Franco, hey, funny story.
Maven asked for it more than Kenzie does.
Franco was super excited because he got his first ever phone, 12 years old. He finally got a little phone. We got him for his birthday. And he's like, dude, this is the last 20. Dad, can you put on the Journey channel? I want to hear Separate Ways. I was like, well, I'm still on Pandora.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm like, bud. Look at Separate Ways by Journey.
So good.
I was his age when I heard that song.
I mean, my dad was making me listen to the Carpenters, for Christ's sake. And now they get to listen to good stuff.
I was forced to listen to Olivia Newton-John.
I mean, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely. That's what we had to listen to. The Mamas and the Papas,
which weren't bad, but I mean, damn.
No, my parents are a little younger, so I was like forced to listen to Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I wish my parents let me listen to Led Zeppelin.
Oh, that's good. That's a good Pandora channel too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, before we get down to Green Tree, I'm not sure if you guys saw this, but one of my, and I love him, but one of my favorite Canes memes is the one that we have of Sad Marsh sitting in the stands after a Canes loss with the dejected, listen, we all know it. We all love Marsh, but it's a great, that and jumping in the pool when we got Jake. But I'll be honest with you, man, even better sad face meme came out, and this was the Bill Simmons at the Heat Celtics Game 7. Have you seen? Oh my! Yeah.
Hold on.
At least Marsh, you still saw a young boy that still had plenty of life and, you know, good things to come. Bill Simmons looks old and looks like he's ready just to. All right, my life should just end now. Just the most dejected look, just sitting in the stand. Oh, it's phenomenal.
Oh, that's a bad one.
It's phenomenal.
That's a bad one.
So good. I loved it.
Oh my God. Look at him.
He's just, yes. He doesn't want to be there. Yeah.
He's gassed, he's bro.
He's like, what am I doing? He's questioning everything about his life in that moment.
He is. I mean, going back to which one are you more surprised about? There's a couple questions to this. Which one are you more surprised about?
In terms of Panthers or Heat?
The Heat or the Panthers making the finals? Which one are you more excited about? Because you can have a preference.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be, you know, one or the, you know, have the same affinity. Something like that. I think it's wrong, but I think you're right.
Affinity. Yeah.
Sounds wrong. And which one would you be more disappointed if they lost?
I had this conversation with my son too, and I was like, listen, both of these teams were 8 seeds, both of this. For me, my preference, the affinity that I have would be.
What are you more surprised about first?
All right. I'm the most surprised that the Panthers are where they at for one reason only, because you never count out Eric Spoelstra. I have that much respect for him. I know he can coach. So if there was going to be a coach in the NBA who could take an 8 seed and take him to the finals, I would say it's Eric Spoelstra. Hockey, you never know what's going to happen. Now, obviously, Bob getting, you know, super hot is great. But the reason why I have the affinity towards the Panthers, Heat have won it. Panthers haven't. So I want the Panthers to win. And I'm surprised that they got in because they needed a couple perplexing losses by the Pittsburgh
Penguins.
Penguins down the backstretch, which they had. They snuck in only to be like play the NHL record for the regular season, Boston Bruins. That's got to be the most surprising. I mean, to me, that has got to be the most surprising that they ended up getting where they are.
Hi.
Hey, Kenzie.
What's up, Kenzie?
Kenzie, I know.
Oh, and a Maven, too.
He just got home. It's summer, so they just get home at 10 o'clock.
Nice. That's good.
Summer. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Bye now.
I'm going to say, Rose, so I am more surprised that the Heat are here right now. Okay. My allegiance in terms of which one I'm looking forward to watching more is going to be the Panthers. And the one that I would be most upset if they didn't win will be the Panthers. I've certainly been a NHL fan much longer than I've been an NBA fan. So my thing with the Heat is, and I'm with you, I've seen them win three. I've never seen the Panthers win one. So they need to get there first. For the Heat, bro, I was watching. I watched the Atlanta game that they lost, the first play-in game. I was watching the Chicago game when they were down with 3 minutes to go. And I was like, well, this is just fucking, it's just over. This isn't, you know, they're just not very good. And then they win that. Never thought they'd get past Milwaukee. Then they win that. I thought they'd beat the Knicks. Never thought they'd beat the Celtics. They get by that, especially when you're up 3-0 and you blow that lead. That 1 point loss at home, I thought was just a crushing. I did not think they were going to win by 20 on the road in game seven. Did not see that coming.
That's usually not how that plays out.
That's usually not how that plays out, 100%. But that speaks to, as you were saying, that whole Heat culture thing. That's a real, real thing. But for me, yeah, dude, I'm more hockey, and I am just stoked for the Stanley Cup Finals. I am stoked for this shit.
The culture that Mario Cristobal is trying to build, and every coach is trying to build, has always been down the street. The Miami Heat have had that culture for decades.
Since like 96 when Pat got here. He brought it with him and started instituting it immediately.
Mm-hmm. And whoever replaces Pat will do the stupidest thing in the world and say, we need to improve the culture in this place. Just like when they got rid of Frank Beamer.
That's right. Lunch pail. That's right.
We have a culture.
Fuente came in and said, you know, we got a culture problem here.
Don't Fuente this when you replace Pat Riley. Don't Fuente this.
Yeah, the culture thing to me is weird. And the reason why I say it's weird is the sustainability of it is weird to me. The fact that they've been able to keep that and keep people believing in it for so long is wild. If you look at that team, if you didn't pay much attention to the NBA and all of a sudden it's the finals, right? You might be able to name or pick out Jimmy Butler. Might. Right? Let's say might, because not everybody knows who he is. You know no one else on this roster. Nobody. If you're a casual fan, you don't know anyone else's name. It blows my mind, honestly. Like it's pretty. So back to my original questions. I'd have to go with I'm more surprised that the Heat are here, because I think that hockey is a weird game, right? Hockey is a weird sport. I mean, you can win games that you shouldn't, right? The puck bounces differently. It's just there's more variables, I think, in hockey that you can look. I mean, the Panthers were down 2-1 with a minute left against the Bruins. They shouldn't even have been there.
Right, but
shouldn't have been.
But unlike the Heat, the Panthers were hot as hell the last month of the season to try to get in. The Heat were playing like ass up until the playoffs literally started.
Right, right. So yeah, I'm definitely more surprised about the Heat, and I'm with Toast, the same thing. I'm more excited to watch the Panthers, and I would be so much more disappointed if the Panthers lose the finals than the Heat. I mean, realistically, like you guys said, that putback ended the season for me, for the Heat. Like, it was over, and I was okay with it. I mean, that's how ridiculous it was. There's no chance they're going to Boston and win that game.
And then to win.
And then they not only win the game.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, they dismantled them, right? And all of a sudden, you have a number two guy, right? Jimmy needed somebody. And all of a sudden, he's got his dude. Like, the fact that he's from Nevada, undrafted, again, goes back to the culture, right? And you've got, who's 55? I can never remember his last name.
We got Strus. You've got Gabe Vincent.
The other one. No, Vincent's his boy. Mm-hmm. You got Strus, and then the sharpshooter.
Duncan.
The Duncan. You know, you got Duncan Robinson, who I got to be honest with you, I didn't know he was still on the team.
Oh, yeah. Well, we pay him too much to get rid of him during the regular season.
I know, but I didn't know he was still on the team.
But this is,
and then he misses those two wide open threes at the end. I'm like, this just you guys did well. I'm going to go watch the Panthers.
But the other thing is like, for those of us that were down here when Riley got here, like, this is, they've been doing this since he got here. Remember Ike Austin? Like, he has been finding guys that nobody wants and turning them into productive players for a handful of years for the Heat since he got here in the 90s. It's insane. Right.
Yeah, it's weird.
Which is good because he always trades away
his Raptors. I think the whole culture is weird. Yeah. And how no one else can replicate. No. Like, it shouldn't be. Like, it's like this phenomenon that nobody else has the magic sauce for, which, again, is weird. Like, you would think that somebody else would be able to instill that type of culture if there's a blueprint for it, right? You can be copycat, just like the NFL and college football and everything else. It just, the whole thing surprises me when I see it successful time and time and again. It's awesome.
Should we go on down to Green Tree Boys?
I think we should.
Flight 72,
let's go!
So the big news in the last 24 hours, they have released the times and broadcast information for four of the games. Start off with Miami of Ohio. That is September 1st. That'll be a 7 p.m. game. So nice. Right. September at night. We like that. Texas A&M going to be here the next week on September 9th. That will be warm, 3:30 p.m. It will be it'll be a cooker out there. Bethune, short week, is a Thursday night game on the 14th of September. That'll be 7:30 at night on ACC Network.
Hold on, we're playing Bethune on Thursday?
Yes, we are. Who the hell knew? Yeah, Thursday night game. Okay. And then the final game of the season, and I'm looking forward to this one. I know you guys hate the whole, you know, one of our now set rivals is BC, and you hate the bandana thing. I get it. But this will be at BC, 12 noon, Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving.
Again,
that'll be fun to watch. Yeah, at noon.
They do that a lot.
Sure, no one will be there. So, I mean, you do a 12 o'clock game. See, we're really going to get into like, people are going to be mad at me because they're saying nobody's going to be there. It's 12 o'clock the day after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Half the town's out of town.
It's Boston.
The other half of that half that are still here, so a quarter of the original people, don't care. It's Boston College. And you can say that they're our rival now for, I don't know, maybe like this year until we bail on the ACC.
The significant but seven.
The fact that they gave us Boston College, it just shows me that nobody has any idea what the fuck's going on.
Those are the Flutie games.
I was like,
nobody paid Doug any Flutie attention. Nobody even knows that's Boston College. Everyone thinks he played for Notre Dame. You can't tell me that's not true. I thought it for 20 years.
Yeah, because of the helmet, and it was like such grainy picture. Yes,
100%. I thought he played. I thought that was a Notre Dame game when I didn't know any better. So nobody cares. I mean, nobody's going to be there. I hope we're 11-0. I don't know if this is the last game of the year. Okay, I hope that's for 12-0 and there's people that show up. But that's just dumb. That's dumb. I'm sorry. That's dumb. I won't be there.
Neither will I. Ro?
Not that anybody cares, but I'm just saying it's just, you know.
I like the fact that the day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday when no one's doing anything, I can watch a Canes game.
I don't disagree with that.
How many people going to Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's another dub. Miami just goes up to Boston and wins. That's just what they do. Suck it, Boston fans.
Yes, we do. Yes. Boston, Miami.
It's going to be snowing.
Daddy. Yeah.
And in November.
It's going to be cold.
We're going to have three guys go out without shirts on.
All on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy on the offensive line is probably the first out without their shirt on?
Oh, Lee.
He seems crazy enough.
Mm-hmm. Is he the dude that's going to like hit his head on his own helmet and start like headbutting people like that? Just insane.
So there's a thing, a streak of blood going down his nose the entire game. Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He's going to do that. He's going to do it before the game. It's going to be his motivating, you know, he's going to come back in and wipe it and lick it and tell everybody how real
this
is.
Who's the guy on the team that is most likely to keep the shirt on? Let's see here.
Zion.
To Corey Couch. Oh, are we talking about offensive line?
Zion? Oh, we're gonna dog Zion like that.
He's dogging anyone. Like... You just said who keeps his shirt on. That's all.
I didn't stick with the offensive line. I went somewhere else. I went to Corey only because he wears like a lot of accessories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, how about this? Every wide receiver.
Xavier looks like a dude that's not gonna wear it.
X Iguala.
He's number goes two. Out without a shirt on, but I guarantee you Jacoby's wearing one.
Tyler's gonna be that guy that's always blowing on his hands with the little earmuff like warmer on your back.
You know, does he have on the back? Does he have the hand warmer?
Yeah, in the back
for that game.
In the back, yeah, yeah.
Of course, he's 1,000%.
Yeah, he's a QB. He's got to keep the hands warm,
bro. You got to keep your hands warm.
He's got to keep
his hands warm. Hands can't grip the ball. I mean, it's maybe he wears. Okay. Look, we know he's going to have a pouch for his hands. Does he wear a glove?
I don't know if he wears a glove, but he wears leggings.
What's the bet on that?
He wears leggings. I know that for sure.
For sure. Well, he wears leggings down here.
I know.
A glove. Does he wear a glove? Because receivers have the luxury of wearing the glove.
I mean, when we played Pittsburgh against Kenny Pickett, I thought Kenny Pickett was using a glove, and he wasn't. So I think he's fine. Hey, listen, he's from Connecticut. It's not like he hasn't played.
Yeah, he grew up in that nonsense. He did. I'm not sure how much he threw it up there, though.
The first year, none. The second year, he threw it a lot more. He was under center, just like Dan Pinos. Dude, we've had such great names for offensive coordinator. We can't say the one. That one got blasted. Apparently, that's insensitive. But Dan Pinos, we could say Dan Pinos. And then we had another Enos.
Yeah, I won't say that one.
Won't say it.
I mean, what? Let's change our name to South Park for the day.
We'll just put it in a cartoon. We want. Yeah, we'll just Orange Bowl Boys cartoons. We can say whatever we want. You thought we were unfiltered before.
Yeah.
And we got so much. That's the thing that I mean, it doesn't. I mean, I don't really care what the naysayers have to say. We do this for fun. But so many people came so hard at us about getting on Gattis. And I'm like, you guys clearly were not here or listening to the show. Two offensive coordinators prior to Gattis. Because I promise you, we were much worse on that guy.
We were much worse on Rick.
Like, we were really, really bad.
Oh, Vanilla Ricked?
Yeah.
Against Dan Pino.
Vanilla Ricked?
The only one we haven't shredded was friggin' SMU. Lashley.
Lashley,
we were happy
about. Boy.
And I think we're going to like everyone
else
this one.
For him, though. I hope so.
You know what? I just thought about this. I just thought about this, you know, Dawson's Creek. He's got such a low bar. Just thinking of some of the names you just said.
19 points, you know, bro. 19 points. You know, it's got to beat.
Tinos, Pinos, Vanilla Ricked. I mean, we've got them. We've got names for days. I mean, Shannon, you get like 26 points a game. We fucking, bro. We tripping, boo. Like, we're having a good time here. 26 points a game.
Bro, if he scores 26 points a game.
I've got his nickname if he isn't any good.
What?
Well, Ro just referenced something.
Dawson's Creek.
So I'm going to reference a different, different creek.
Yeah, Creek. Okay.
Yeah. Schitt's Creek.
If he averages 26 or more
save
a game,
that. Save that.
Then there'll be a banner plane saying, give him an extension.
All right, so here's the
comment. He might get it.
So we're going here. If the coordinators are bad.
Oh, God, here we go.
What are they going to be their nicknames?
What are the names?
We're on record right now. All right, so he's saying Schitt's Creek Dawson. Shannon Schitt's Dawson.
Schitt's Creek's a good one.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek. Yeah, instead of Dawson's Creek. Yeah, I got that. And then we got Guidry. Oh, my goodness. He'll come to us. I still think Ron Guidry every time I hear Guidry.
I know, so do I. It's just Lightning. Awful.
Lance Guidry.
Fucking Yankees. All right. Yeah. So, hey, Athlon, one of our favorite publications, came out with their 2023 ACC predictions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number one, FSU. Uh-huh. Number two, Clemson. And they believe that FSU-Clemson meet in the title game and FSU wins. Number three in the conference, North Carolina. Number four in the conference, Miami. followed by Duke, Pitt, Louisville, NC State, Wake Forest, Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Va Tech, BC, and Virginia. Thoughts on that Miami means BC, being four?
That means one of the two, BC or Virginia, is going to be like third, second. They're going to be like undefeated going into just the way the ACC is. Fourth was Miami behind UNC.
Who was third?
UNC.
I mean, look, I think here's they all have top tier quarterbacks in my opinion, and I say that very, very loosely for the guy up in Tallahassee, but he's made remarkable strides. Mm-hmm. So I will give him that. But they all do have top tier quarterbacks, right? I mean, you have the kid at Clemson who is, you know, I mean, they thought the next guy from Jacksonville. And then you've got Tyler, and then you've got that dude at UNC who, by all accounts,
he can sling it.
A lot of NFL guys think that he's the top kid in the country.
Yeah, May. Yeah. It's got to be May.
May. So, look, I mean, I think which of those play the best? I think it's really going to be quarterback driven on how well those teams perform based strictly on what they've got going on behind center. I didn't even say under center anymore, behind center.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break because in that same Athlon article, an anonymous coach shredded Mario Cristobal over last season. And we're going to read that quote and talk about that. But before we do, our buddies at Ed Morse, edmorse.com, Teddy Morse, the whole crew, the family, they've been back in the Orange Bowl boys since the beginning. And if you are looking for a new ride, that is the only place you need to go is edmorse.com or any of the dealerships across this great country. Even if you're looking for two wheels instead of four, you want a hog? Go up to Daytona. Teddy Morse is Harley Davidson. They are your one-stop shop for anything you want in terms of driving and riding something around. So edmorse.com, price protection promise. They've been doing it for decades. Make sure you let them know the Orange Bowl boys sent you.
Yes.
Because my Ed Morse just 185. Bop, bop.
You know, did a cool uncle thing recently. My saw my nephew, had to trim up his beard. So I got him his own beard trimmer, and I told him, this is gift number one. Gift number two, you got a manscape, bro, because this is how the face looks. Can only imagine how the balls look. Manscaped. Not only are all their products conveniently mimicking landscape products, that's why they're called Manscaped, if you didn't know, but they're a phenomenal company. Use promo code OBB, get some money off, perfect gift. Father's Day is right around the corner. That's Mother's Day gift.
There you go.
There you go.
20% off.
There you go.
That's right.
Make Father's Day Mother's Day.
You know what you should do next year, since you guys already missed it, next year, just put this on your calendar and your phone. Next year for Mother's Day, you get her some of the Manscaped products.
Yeah.
And she's going to go, what the hell is this?
And just wink.
Saying mom needs a trim?
It's your gift. Mm. It's your gift. Nope. No. It's for me. But it's your gift.
And you just wink.
Here, Mom, yeah. Here's the crop duster.
That's you.
Oh, Jesus.
Get to trimming.
Oh, my goodness.
20% off, promo code OBB. last but certainly not least, Scoop, our boy, beating the bookie. Just living that life. He's got to do a reality show or a YouTube show or something, or like a day in the life of BTB. Just following him around.
Yeah, it'd be funny. It'd be funny. He's got his set things he does every day. You know, he's got his family stuff. He works out and he picks up his daughter and he does this and does that. But he never stops working. It's amazing the amount of content, the information that he puts out at the site, beatingthebookie.com. That's where you get all your packages. And you'll hear this tomorrow morning. First thing, you still will have time if you go bright and early. You will have time to get in to, is it the Memorial this week?
I believe so.
It was the Schwab last week. Memorial this week. Hold, please. The Memorial Yeah, you can still get that package. Last week broke about even at the Schwab, but the week before that was PGA. He made 30 units. The week before that was something else. He made money. He killed the Master with 35 units. And then he's crushing. He's been crushing NHL playoffs. So he's got some picks that I saw in for the finals, some pre-finals picks. Follow him. He gives out free plays, too. BeatingTheBookie.com, at BeatingTheBookie on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all your favorite social media platforms. Go find him. Tell him we said hi. Tell him we sent you. Make yourself some dough.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Athlon, just, you know, doing their whole little ACC preview, and they talked to an anonymous coach for their thoughts on every single team and how they did last year. And the coach they asked about for Miami, have no idea who they are, but this is what they said. Quote, no one can really explain why they looked so bad last season. Everyone in the league was terrified of them coming out of two-a-days, and then we all saw how terrible they were the first month. Gattis didn't work at all. Not sure if that's on him or Mario or both. Doesn't really matter for them. They took a dark horse Heisman quarterback and ruined his game. Before last season, that kid had it. Decisive, quick throws, poise. Then he suddenly couldn't do anything. The idea is that Mario hired names instead of fits, but that doesn't make sense for a guy who knew the place he was going back to and who's already coached at a high level. This is a good roster, a top half roster in this league for sure. I think it's really interesting that both new coordinators are known for being aggressive with their calls. The kids could really feed off of that if they get going. They need better play on both sides for that to happen.
True.
I mean, it's very true. Accurate about what last year was, in my opinion.
Summarization in summary of what we said so many times last year. You know, being Miami. You know, Miami Heat have the culture, but if you're going to get butts in the seat, so you got to be a little bit exciting. There was nothing exciting last year. Offense was pedestrian. So, you know, when you hear another ACC coach say that, you know, this is Miami. Now, I'll give credit to Josh Gattis. Josh Gattis had some concerns with the speed on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, obviously we got faster in the offseason. So that there was credence there.
Schemed it better.
Yeah. Then. No, but that guy's incapable. I mean, you saw that. I'm still laughing at the spring game in Maryland. It's still
you,
funny.
You, oh my
we
God.
We could talk about
oh
that.
Oh my God. But, like watching paint dry, man.
But, anyways, but no, that was
Loxley.
He cracked it. He knocked it out of the park. That's exactly true. And now he got aggressive guys because, yeah, just aggressive Miami plays with that swag when they do, when they got a little chip on their shoulder. Miami's a very formidable team to beat when they have it right. So let's get it right.
I'll be honest, I was I'm surprised that all these guys were terrified of them going into the season, that they thought it was going to be just a smooth transition, kick ass, and just boom. That none of them saw this as being, you know, having a rough start to this tenure.
I'll tell you why. Because everybody watched Tyler Van Dyke the previous season. And if you go in and you think that, okay, he's the guy, right? He's capable. You have to fear that type of quarterback coming from all the records he set the previous seven games into a new season. You would imagine that offense is going to be productive. Little did anyone know the nonsense that we were going to be dealt God. With that guy.
Nuts. Nuts.
And, I mean, look. Here's Mario fired that guy. Mario refused to let Tyler go to Alabama. So you tell me. He chose one over the other. I mean, we've been telling you, it's obvious, but still have your doubts.
Kane's got a commitment this week that, and I don't understand some of the fan base, man. It's just still, you'd think at this point I'd just accept it, but D'Alen Russell, defensive lineman out of Miami Columbus. So obviously connections there with the entire coaching staff. Only a 3-star. And oh my God, so you just would have, why are we going for these bottom? Here's the deal, man. Like, I don't know how many times we were talking about it in the Discord. You've put together this staff and you believe in Mario as a recruiter, right? Listen, there's 4-5 stars, going to be 4 stars, there's 3 stars. And we talk about, you know, the 2 stars, the Ed Reeds, this and that, the guys that, you know, became. At some point, you have to believe in this staff's ability to evaluate a prospect. And all the reports are that this staff is head over heels in love with the evaluation on this kid. So take it as gold. Like, you can't bitch about your staff evaluating a kid and then taking them based on that evaluation. If you are, then you don't want them as your staff. Know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have trust in the people you've hired. And the amount of you that just will go off because someone's a 3-star, fuck, dude. Like, stop it. Stop it.
Well, here's the thing. They don't care. And don't let it hurt your feelings now. They don't care about what you think. And they're not worried about your perception of their evaluation. They just do what they do because they think it's going to be better for the football team. So if you want to keep going off and spouting off and doing your thing and crying about, you know, this 18-year-old kid verbally committed, kids not on a campus yet. Haven't even committed yet. We all used to follow recruiting so heavy, but it's so ridiculous. Like, it was ridiculous then, and it's even more ridiculous now with all the social media and everything else. When the kids are here, let them play. This team, this staff is going to evaluate. Tosh just told you, let them evaluate. You don't think what staff or what type of team did Mario put together at Oregon? Pretty good. I'm sure he probably got some 3 stars. They probably turned out to be pretty good too. I don't know that. I'm imagining pretty damn good team. Dan Lanning inherited a pretty damn good team that he coached last year. So you got, I'm beating a dead horse and jumping on what Toast already said, but like,
it's too early.
I mean, you got to give it a break, man.
It's too early.
You're just bitching just to bitch. You're that's bitching just is. To hear yourself. Yeah,
that's
bitch.
What it is.
It's too Someone early.
In the chat just mentioned, wasn't he the defensive player of the year for his division in the 305? I believe he actually was. Yeah. For division. Yeah.
Probably.
For
yeah.
The large school right. division. Yeah. So.
And then you bitch about the fact that Rivals has him as a 3-star. Oh, he's a 4-star, man. What? Well, you guys are downgrading him a 3-star. But then you bitch that he's a 3-star, and then Mario said, I like that kid's mm-hmm. talent.
It's still too early. There's a lot of conversations over the years with coaches, and that's what our experience can bring as fans, because we have, like, memories of certain things. I remember Al Golden bringing the Joe Paterno line in here. You got to have a team of blue-collar guys, because if you have too many of the white-collar, like, 5-stars, you know, and it's like Prima Donna and Joe Pa taught me that, you know, you need the blue-collar guys. How many fucking championships did Joe Pa win, right? Shut the fuck up, Al Golden. Nick Saban, I would like the Nick Saban era of doing things right. The more talent, the better. But then now Alonzo Highsmith's voice comes into my head. There's really only 2, like, true 5-stars a class. And the difference between 3 and 4, highest NFL composite of where they come from as far as a group and a designation is a 3-star category. Obviously, per capita, there's more, so there's more chances that I get that. So, but it's still too early. He has the track record of really having talented teams, being the number one overall recruiter out in the Pac-12 out there, having Oregon's best classes ever when he was out there. So for me, your track record speaks for itself, Mario. Alonzo, you know what you're doing too. It's way too early. I'm not going to do this. Now, if the results on the field and you could see that there's a talent gap, yeah, then you could question it. But we're way too early for that. Way too early for that. This isn't an Al Golden thing. Al Golden proved that he couldn't really recruit to the level Mario Cristobal has in his career. He never really got the opportunity. I remember it both ways. I'm just not panicking. Now, at the end of it, you better get some studs. You better get some playmakers, right? You got to get some playmakers. But, Toast, you brought it up last episode. There's only a couple teams that had a top 10 class and a top 10 portal class. there's 132 Division I schools. Probably this year is probably going to be like 140. They keep petitioning for this thing. So you're in the upper echelon if you're doing that. So relax, relax. Still too early.
I would say that Al Golden had plenty of time to recruit at a high level. He just wasn't able to. He was here for, what, 5 years?
That he sanctions came, kicked his balls,
well,
though.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but he still could have. Listen, there were sanctions. He came into a program that had been mediocre for, what, at that stage, over 10 years. He could have picked a few. He wasn't the right guy. We all thought he had opening press conference. He went downhill right from there.
He was way better at picking linebackers than one Manuel Diaz, I can tell you that
is
much.
True. Oh, that is true. Goodness. That is true. Miami Hurricanes baseball, the number 9 national seed for the tournament. So they'll be hosting the Coral Gables Regional. That's going to be starting Friday against Maine, then Saturday versus Texas or Louisiana. It's double elimination. If they win, they move on to the Palo Alto Super Regional hosted by Stanford. Listen, I'm just glad they're not going to Gainesville if they get out of the regional. So I'll take Stanford all freaking day long. Listen, they knocked off Wake in the ACC tournament.
That's what I was about to bring up, because when they played them earlier in the year, they got swept, and I walked away impressed and upset at the same time, because I was like, Wake's got a nasty ass pitching staff. I mean, they kept our bats at bay, but to go up and beat them convincingly too. We didn't just barely beat Wake, but in typical Miami Hurricane fashion, you lay an egg against Clemson in the championship game. And baseball's a weird sport. I know that more than most. We'll see what happens, because it's the same thing, kind of like the Panthers. You just need a hot goalie. If by some strange chance they could get the pitchers just dial it in just a little bit more, keep some hitters at bay. Miami Hurricanes have the bats to go all the way to Omaha. That has never been in question.
They do. I mean, they don't have the arms realistically, but you know, if you get lucky, you got to get lucky though, because that staff just, it's just two, not elite level.
Two hit or miss.
It is. It is. I mean, they get raked one day and then they're brilliant the next day. It's just,
you look at Tulane won the AAC, and so they got in with a 19-40 record.
19-40?
19-40, and they got into the tourney because they won the AAC baseball tournament.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
They beat East Carolina to get in. East Carolina was the number one seed.
Go Green Wave. That's fantastic. I'll be rooting
and listen, we got to point out that Geno now has back-to-back 40-win seasons, and 40 wins is kind of that mark that you always want. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
10 game.
Yeah. I think he did a good job this year. Look, he got an extension, you know, Dan gave him an extension. I think he did a good job.
We did that lunch.
He's just short on arms, man. It's honestly, that's the biggest knock on them right now.
Well, but listen, you're short on arms because of who you're recruiting. I mean, he's got to change his recruiting philosophy in terms of pitching.
Dude, we can get into this every which way and sideways and twice on Sundays and everything else, and Roe will break it down for you, the fact that we don't have the scholarships for this.
They got to identify the pitchers too. They might have to go a little bit more national. I mean, instead of the local pot and stuff like that, maybe they go out and just try to get some other arms, some other talent areas and stuff like that. Because here's the thing too with South Florida arms, they get abused, man. You think travel baseball down here? I mean, they're pitching these kids
all the
Uber
time.
Amounts of innings, yep. All the time. So when you have a kid that has like dead arm all of a sudden out of nowhere, and there might be a guy or two on the staff that has that. I mean, just listen to some of the starters' ERAs. Carson, 4.25. Gage, 4.61. Pipo, 7.45. I mean, that's your ERA of your starters at the University of Miami. You got to – kudos to the bats. Kudos to the bats. We got word early that, you know, Blake Sear, he's searing hot. I mean, that kid legit. Absolutely legit. That's going to be a bat and a name for us to know for years to come. But you can't do this. You can't do that with the ERA, and that's what you're starting pitching. So they collectively, if they got any kind of chance collectively, they need to go ahead. And
well, honestly, I think they're having to take them deeper into games too, right? Because we have 0 minute middle inning relief.
Yeah, it's pitching up and down is
none.
It's just a mess.
None.
Got
so,
Walters.
So you're having to take these kids.
Yeah, Walters.
I mean, you got to get to him.
And that was the thing, right? Because the year before, you know.
Yeah, Palmquist.
Palmquist, who was our closer, he was lights out. But it's a totally different team. If there was one guy from last year's team I would want back on this team, it would be Palmquist. because Palmquist would keep the ERA, kept people off balance. It was just he was a tough out. I mean, well, he got a lot of outs. He wasn't tough.
He was an ace.
He was an ace. As unorthodox as he looked and pitched a sidearm lefty, but that dude was like, yeah, he was on it. He was on it. So we just don't have that ace this year, and I think we'll see what happens. But we had that lunch with Dan, and I remember the comment that struck out because, you know, the topic of baseball and what are we doing, and maybe Gino's job came up, and he was like, baseball is one of those sports at the end of the year somebody ends up winning it. That was so telling to me because at that point, it's like, it's baseball, man. You just never know. You never know. And now look, you know how many more Division I baseball schools there are than football schools? Come on now. There's a lot more Division I baseball schools than football. There's a lot more that they don't have football teams. Like so Cal State Fullerton, you know what I'm saying? They don't have a Division I football team. That's a powerhouse in baseball. You know, so there's so many more teams, so many things that could go your way or not go your way. So when he said that comment, just somebody had to me, it was just like, whatever. Keep the same coach for 20 years. It doesn't matter because at the end of the year, somebody else is going to win it anyway, no matter what you do in baseball. I see that. That was my vibe from him. He didn't seem to prioritize baseball as some of us might prioritize baseball.
Before we get into the fun stuff, congrats to Katie Meyer, Jim Larranaga. They both got contract extensions. Katie, an additional year. Jim through 27. So he's just going to die here, basically. He's just,
I mean, Lord. Man. Well, that's okay. One way to put it.
He's never going to leave, which is good, which is great. All right. So this is, I saw this and I completely immediately thought of Scoop. The headline was, men are urinating completely wrong. And here we go. A leading urologist has stated that sitting down to pee is more hygienic and healthier for bladders. A urological surgeon says the most efficient way to pee. If I'm not mistaken, one of us routinely sits down to pee.
Yes.
And it's not me.
That happened like episode 3.
Yeah.
That was well established.
That's you, Scoop. It was.
Yeah, I don't do it during the... Yeah, no, 100... Yeah. I don't do it during the day. My whole thing is that in the middle of the night, and this is the conversation we had, and the conversation I still don't understand how mentally you guys think that it's better the other way. But in the middle of the night, when I wake up and I'm half asleep and I have to like I have to force myself to get out of bed to go to the bathroom so I don't lay there in agony and force myself to go back to sleep because I have to go to the bathroom. I get up, I go in the bathroom, and I sit down. Why would you stand in the middle of the night? It's dark. You're tired. You're pissing all over the walls. Just sit down and take a piss. It's much more comfortable. You finish, you go back to bed. So I agree with this urologist that sitting down is an easier way. More hygienic? Of course it is. Of course it's more hygienic. You're not standing up 4 feet from the toilet splashing piss everywhere. When it hits the water, it hits the water. You don't think all those germs and everything else that's coming fly, you can't see them. They're coming out, I promise you.
You just said that you're spraying it all over the walls. What is wrong with you? You have a problem? You see a doctor?
Yeah, I see all kinds of doctors.
I mean, yeah, so he says it's more efficient. I don't see how me taking the process of turning around, sitting down, is more efficient than just standing and just peeing. I'm like removing steps. I'm not sitting down, like I'm removing steps.
Yeah. But he is telling you that it's easier on your bladder and easier on your equipment to sit down. It's easier for you that way. It's more beneficial for your innards.
I don't notice a comfort issue between standing and sitting and peeing. Like I'm not standing there peeing like, oh man, this is really uncomfortable. I should sit down.
And what if you're tired? You should sit.
Well,
you've got a long day.
I was just sleeping and I woke up. I think I'm okay for 30 seconds.
So you're awake enough when you get up in the middle of the night?
Well, first of all, let me just say
this. To go stand to pee?
I rarely wake up in the middle of the night to pee. I'm still thankfully able to pretty much make it through the evening, through my sleep.
I'm much through the night. Yeah. I'm much better ever since I go to sleep at night like Darth Vader. Once the Darth Vader mask came on, I don't wake up to pee anymore. I used to wake up incessantly and have to pee constantly. I never again. I don't wake up to pee when I'm Darth Vader.
I'm like half and half. Some nights I wake up, some nights I don't. But if I wake up and I have to pee,
it's not having to get up in the middle of the night. I can't sleep not like Darth Vader anymore.
Now, listen, I'll admit there is a time when I will pee, and then an hour later, she'll get up and go to the bathroom and she'll curse at me because there's pee on the seat.
Because you pissed on the seat. No shit.
Well, it's dark.
It's dark and it's 3 a.m.
I'm still not going to sit down.
It's 3 a.m. I must be lucky. Sorry.
There was a faction of people.
Baby.
There was a faction of people who thought that said it.
I can't help but be scared of it all. Sometimes.
That it was, it's 3 a.m. I must be horny. I'm pretty sure it's lonely. I'm pretty sure it's lonely.
Every time.
All right. Next one. This is going to be good. Will Ferrell is set to star in a new John Madden biopic. This is the synopsis. After being forced into retirement by the Oakland Raiders, fiery former NFL head coach John Madden teams up with a mild-mannered Harvard programmer to rewrite his fading legacy by building the world's first football video game.
Oh, my goodness. That ended up being so iconic.
Right?
There we go.
Will Ferrell as John Madden. Can you pull that off?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Boom. I mean, how hard is it to pull that off?
Right. That's all he's got to do, isn't it?
Boom.
Can he pull it off?
Bro, that game when it came out.
I'll go with a big fat no. And then, like, I don't understand how we can possibly
pull that off. Going to school and be like, did you see it? What? The ambulance, bro. The ambulance came onto the field. And if you remember that first Madden game, right? When the ambulance was
the ambulance would come onto the field.
It would literally run over all the rest of the players.
Yeah, all everybody there. Yeah.
Just to pick up the one guy. Yeah, you just caused a massive accident. It was like, I'm pretty sure that was an act of terrorism. But you know what? The ambulance came out and you were the core. Oh, no way. That ambulance comes out. Yeah, man, an ambulance came out in the middle of the field. So crazy.
All right. Who plays Belichick in 20 years in the biopic?
Matt Damon. He just looks like he just...
It would be the most boring movie of all time.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to do a movie with... No way. No way.
I would say... I'd say, man, a great Belichick would be Jack Nicholson. Obviously, he'll be dead by then, but...
Here's what you do.
I think it'd be
good. Do a movie about Belichick, but it's strictly kind of like a spoof movie, and it just revolves around spying on the Jets for the video gate thing. And you just
gotta
make
through.
It like a comedy.
It's about Bill, but it has to be from like a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a secret girlfriend.
I know whose perspective it's from. I know this. I've already got it figured out. And they will thank us for eternity for bringing this up.
Wow.
Mei Ling.
All right.
That would definitely be a comedy.
Last one before we get into five questions.
I mean, think about it.
I got five questions from Robert Kraft.
Mei Ling.
I did my homework.
Right. How good is that?
You've both heard of pickleball, obviously.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
There's a new activity, a new sport that is taking away pickleball and exploding among the adult crowd. Guess what's coming back, boys and girls? Kickball.
Red Rover.
It's quickly becoming something that people actually want to do on a Saturday morning with over 395 million views on TikTok. Adult kickball leagues are more popular than ever.
Yeah, I know that. I was going to say there's a lot more of these adult kickball leagues popping up.
And here's the thing. Between pickleball and kickball, you're opening up athletics to folks in their 50s and 60s that aren't in good shape.
That's what we're here for. Exactly. That's what we're here. It's job security
for me. I think, look, pickleball is...
True story.
I get it.
Across the street, talking about dangerous activities, across the street, there's a skate rink from the station that I work at. And they had, I'm not kidding you, women's roller derby.
Oh, dude, that is awesome. I love roller derby.
Oh, my God.
We were going there.
Miss roller derby.
The amount of pain medication we were dispensing. I mean, like, you get these 40, 50-year-old pent-up women, housewives more than likely, just going around on skates, elbowing each other. I'm like, what could possibly go wrong? And then you would add, like, the elderly hour that they would go on rollerblades. You're already, like, one blue for a trouble.
You
got to
go on YouTube,
they'd come
kids.
Up with the slingshot, and they'd take four people down at the same time.
This used to be on TV every Saturday and Sunday.
Yes,
you could go on YouTube and watch the 70s roller derby leagues, professional men and women beating the shit out of each other.
You guys, hey, listen, this will bring back something from your past, but there was a documentary, and I don't get sucked in, but the guys at work were watching it, but it was a documentary on the American Gladiators. I was I got sucked in because, I mean, they look weathered now. Because,
Most of them are dead.
Yeah, and just some of the injuries they were taking. Then you realize, like, how brutal that was.
Nitro.
Like, do you remember? You remember the one where they're swinging, like, on, like, the, like, it was like they were on monkey bars and they were swinging on the top, and the gladiator's job was to, like, wrap you up and bring you down. You were like 15 feet up in the air. So then you were trying to get from your side to their side. They're swinging across the other side. They'd wrap you up. And next thing you know, they're like pile driving you from 20 feet up in the air, shooting tennis balls at you, 110.
The air cannon with the tennis balls, bro. Those were going to 60 miles an hour. The welts. Are you kidding me?
If I could be the gunner and just magically pick people to run through the gauntlet, that would be awesome. I need this. Yeah, I'll see you at 12. See if you can get by this. All right, Ace?
All right, let's get into five questions.
Five questions.
Five questions. All right, you got some, bro? I got one.
I got them all. I got them all.
Go, baby, go.
Question number one. What is your childhood crush doing right now?
Boy, I'd have to Google and find out.
I don't know. Me too.
All right, you Google that, and I will go ahead right now because she's gracing a lot of Hallmark movies these days, and her last name is Bure. So that would be one Mrs. Candace Cameron Bure from her, you know, DJ Tanner days. And I still remember the day I was in my townhouse and the first time I ever felt warm. What's up, DJ? I'm dead serious. I was watching the show. I watched this show so many times. I had my hands back and I was lounging behind me, and I'm like just looking, and I just see her, and I saw her again for the first time, and I was like, I just got this warm flush feeling. I'm like, what is this feeling? Like, why? And then I would just like watch the show, and every time she came on, I kept having this feeling. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's like I'm warm. So, yeah, Miss Hallmark.
All right. Scoop.
She's a house mom.
Okay.
She does not have a social media account that is her own, and keeps her family life fairly private. She's married to filmmaker Davis Guggenheim since 1994. And we are talking about one Elizabeth Shue.
Ah, Elizabeth Shue.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
Adventures in Babysitting was the time where that was the warmth. I was like, God, this chick, she can babysit me, please.
Okay.
Please.
She had a nice little run in movies there back in the day.
She's only 5'2"?
Yeah.
What?
Tiny.
Only is she 5'2".
Wow. She's a tiny little girl.
Mine is now a 60-year-old entrepreneur and author. Married to a doctor with the same name as a famous king, Greg Olson. Her name, Kathy Ireland.
Ooh, nice.
Swimsuit, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Back when, got that warm feeling.
Jesus. Okay.
That's like nice. That's like a physical thing he could have held too, which is frightening.
Question.
Anyway.
Yes, there were pages.
God help me.
Question
Why are you still in the bathroom?
I can hear you.
Splash, 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 splash.
What do you listen to or do to sleep right away?
Oh, this is easy for me. So on, if you go to, if you have Prime and you go to Prime and you type in meditation, it will come up with singing bowls and meditation to go to sleep things like 10, 15, 20 minutes, 6 hour, like rainforest stuff. You're like, yeah. Awesome. That's what I do.
Awesome. Yeah, that is. That's clutch. That's clutch. Me, it's two things. The thing that I listen to and the thing that I think of. So it's like a cacophony of like little fans. My daughter has one. My son has one. And we have one. So we all sleep with like little oscillating fans next to the. So I got to hear that. And I did it since I've been a kid. And what do I do to sleep right away? I literally think of Jedi adventures in my mind almost every single night. And I'm not even kidding. I'm a perpetual Christ. 4-year-old. I listen to a fan. I put my hood on. I got my mask. I've been to like every Star Wars planet, Coruscant, went after like the Jeffrey Epstein of their era. I'm like John Wick meets. I've had so many damn Jedi adventures over the years. Yeah. Yeah.
So are you able to figure out what you want to dream and have that continue as you fall asleep as a dream or?
It's like right before I fall asleep. No, because once I dream, all bets are off. But okay. I'm such a heavy, heavy sleeper that I rarely, rarely remember any dreams that I had when I wake up. You know when I happen to wake up at like an hour before I get up and I'm in that in and out phase, I'll have some wicked dreams. Yeah, I'll have the wicked dreams like from Boston. Wicked, wicked dreams. But up until that point, I don't remember anything. That's just like my cognitive wherewithal before I fall asleep. I think about that and within 10 minutes I'm out.
All right.
I'm out. Yep.
I fall asleep right away. But I do. I can lay down and just go right to sleep.
I know people like that.
It's awesome. But if I can't, like if I'm stuck, Steph and I were in Maui one time and they I don't know who we were talking to and they said, if you ever have a problem falling asleep, picture a pearl being dropped from a boat into the ocean and just follow the pearl down as it sinks into the ocean. And bro, that shit will knock you out.
I'm thinking of the imagery.
Every time. It's amazing.
I'm listening to Toast like songs in the back of my head. I'm like, yeah, that would be peaceful. I like my Jedi shit way better. All right.
I mean, I don't know who does that, but.
Question number three is a fun question. What is your favorite car you've ever owned?
Oh, I have had such lame cars.
Well, one of them's got to be your favorite.
Yeah. You know what? I'll go with my diesel Jetta. Because it would get like 600 miles to a tank.
Of course it would. I remember the diesel Jettas.
You bought gas like once a friggin' year.
Yeah. It'd be expensive when you'd get it, but well, now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, no, diesel. Back then, diesel was less. Was cheaper, it was less than unleaded.
Yes. That's true. Yeah, that's true. I know. Oof. Say your Maxima. Say your Maxima. Come on.
No. Oh, man. That's not, you know, that didn't even cross my mind. That was a good one. I relate the cars to the experiences. And the Maxima had a good run for sure. I would go with the car I had in college, which was a 93 Prelude. It was the first year of the new body style with the Prelude. And man, that the stories I could tell with that car, they probably still put me in jail, to be honest with you. That was, yeah, so I'd have to go to that.
All right.
Because that was fun.
It's not my Dakota because, and it's my current one, to be honest. Because when I got my Dakota, I wanted a Dodge Ram even then. 20 years later, I finally got my Dodge Ram. I've wanted my truck for 20 years. So it's actually my current one. My current Dodge Ram. So my favorite car that I remember is currently the one that I drive from Ed Morse. Thank you, Ed Morse. All right. Number four.
I'm just glad none of us said a friggin' Z.
Yeah. A Z28.
What, iRock?
Rock. How about a Trans Am with an eagle on it or whatever?
Yeah. So I had a Trans Am.
All right. Oh,
I did, but it was the newer. It was the Firebird.
Here's one for you. Anyone know anyone that ever had a Fiero?
I did.
Remember the Fiero? Yeah,
I did. I mean, there's some cars that are no longer around, Fiero.
Here's another one for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone in high school, like me, had a Subaru Brat with the seats in the back of the pickup facing the opposite way.
Oh, I know that. I didn't know anybody who had that, though.
Me neither.
Crazy ass old cars.
All right. Yeah,
that was fun.
If you had $1 million to spend in an hour, but you can't shop on the internet, how would you do it?
$1 million to spend in an hour.
You got an hour to spend it. You can't shop online. You got to spend it somehow, some other way.
I'm going to go to one of those auto collection places and, you know, drop a half mil on a Lambo and then take the rest and go like to the casino.
I mean, do you have to physically get rid of it?
Yeah, you got to say it's like Brewster's thing.
Or you have to allocate it.
Yes.
And you need receipts. Yeah.
I gave him the wrong finger.
Right?
That's from a different movie, but it's still Richard
Train
Pryor.
Tracks through the outfield.
Yeah. Well, I got that now at the Astros ballpark. Minute Maid Park.
There's not too many things you can do. That's what I'm saying. If you can allocate it, I can think of all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
you actually
right.
have
all
to right. spend it.
I'm going to be a little bit, smart with my money here. I'm going to immediately pay off my mortgage. That gets covered so within $5. I know.
Well,
but,
see, that's allocating.
Yeah.
It's allocating. That's so what I'm
saying. But I still got a lot to play with here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm literally having the most lavish breakfasts, lunches, and dinners. I'm hopping on planes to do this thing. I'm bringing as many people as I can with me. I just paid off my mortgage. I don't care. The rest is just party. Let's go. Where are we going, boys?
You want 24 hours.
Let's go to. We got 24
you have
hours.
An hour. You have an hour.
Oh, an hour. Yeah, but you have an hour.
No, yeah, in an hour. Son
you
of a
can't
bitch.
Do any of that shit.
Allocate. That's what I'm saying. You can allocate it.
Yeah, but no. You know what? And I'll buy some in a boat. In a boat, I'll buy some fancy shit.
Okay.
There you go. And pay off my mortgage.
All right.
Yeah. Yuppie. Yeah. Down for all
that's
that.
That's Bennett.
All right. Number four.
Down for all that.
That
was number four.
Well, that was okay. Number five.
All right. I like this question. It's probably the best of the five. That's why I kept it. What is the best apocalypse movie?
Oh,
there's been so many.
There have been. Day After Tomorrow is pretty good.
Planet of the Apes is kind of apocalyptic, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mars Attacks is funny.
That's
the little aliens.
Any zombie apocalypse movie, you know.
What about Apocalypse Now? It's not really.
An old school movie. That's like a war movie.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. I'm going to have to say the best apocalypse movie, and it's the original. And this is back when Will Smith was cool, but Independence Day. That was when that came out, that movie was badass. To me, that was the best apocalypse movie.
How about Armageddon or Deep Impact?
Ooh. I still remember watching Armageddon, and then I was dating a girl who looked over to me and said, "Are you listen? When Harry fucking takes the straw away from his future son-in-law,
seriously, are you crying?" Tears.
And she looked at me and she goes, "Are you crying?" And I was like, "Trying to." She and her quote, "You're such a pussy."
Like, what the hell? Well, she wasn't wrong.
Yeah, that wasn't
my wife will watch that movie anytime it comes on TV.
Oh, it's a great movie.
She will stop whatever she's doing and watch Armageddon.
Yep, and Buscemi. Yep,
oh,
Buscemi's in
that
movie.
Steve Buscemi is fantastic.
Yeah, he's a former firefighter for FDNY. 3 years he was a firefighter.
I mean, I'll go with Armageddon because here's my opinion, I want to
move my answer to that.
Movies, they all suck. They're all stupid. Armageddon is great. So, I mean, it's an entirely different movie. Honestly, the cast suck.
Is amazing.
Liv Tyler's amazing in that too. She's just
Billy Bob Thornton.
The soundtrack's amazing. Yeah. Like everything about that movie.
You know that that was Aerosmith's first number one hit song.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It took them that long to do it. They had a song go to number two. That was Dream On. But they lost. They never got to number one because that's when Michael Jackson's Beat It came out or Bad came out. So it was he couldn't top. They couldn't top that. That was number
first
two
ever.
Yep. It took them that long. And then they followed that up with they had another slow.
I may have cried when he pulled that short straw too, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, I cried when he took it back when he's like, you just tell my daughter, you know, like all that stuff. I'm a sucker for like the daddy daughter stuff.
The one is when they finally land and the asshole pilot comes up to Liv and says, I want to shake the hand of the bravest man I've ever met. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like, okay, that'll get you.
Harry Stamper.
Harry Stamper. Although the best part of that though is when they're all getting tested before they go up there and just all that they're getting all
I like their demand
prodded.
They don't want to be they don't want taxes
ever.
Ever. Ever. And then you see the big guy in the bag just like and John Coffey was in that movie too.
great movie. All right.
Yeah.
That's the show, boys.
Yeah, the Wilson brother was in that movie for like 2 minutes. He was like the first to get smashed when they landed. I was like, oh, he's dead. All right.
So what are we calling it?
Ah, man. I had an idea for a show title. Maybe you'll understand why I thought of the idea, whether you go with it or not. Just put ha, 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 ha. Just that's it. That's it.
I'm down.
All right. Ha ha. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. Just, we understand why we're laughing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We know why we're laughing.
So is this your last show with us, Ro, for a few weeks?
No. Next week.
Okay.
Next week, I'll say that.
All right.
Young, little
and next week, we will have Brian Mormon on with us.
Beautiful.
We were supposed to have him on this week and got messed up.
All right. Very good. Very good. All right, boys. Well, then, listen, hope you all have a phenomenal weekend. Make sure you're checking out the Canes in baseball. And, yeah, man, we'll see you guys back here next week. So, as always, go Canes!
Yo!
Bang.
That's another episode in the books. The Orange Bowl Boys are brought to you by Ed Morse Automotive Group. Visit edmorse.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.